Welcome, Chevra, to Counseling School number 161.
Thank you very much. Okay, there are some follow-ups from the last call. The first one, if I had a chance to speak to Lorena Verabena Rav Schechter by giving a bracha to the children after Kiddush on Friday night. He told me that his custom is to give a bracha to the children only on Erev Yom Kippur, not on every Friday. But he did say that he doesn't think it's right to give a bracha to children before you give a bracha to the Rabbona Shel Olam. And presumably, come home Friday night from shul, that would be more appropriate. I told him that although that may sound right, I don't know anybody who does it that way, that everybody does it the other way. They give a bracha to the children as soon as they walk into the house. So I looked it up. I found something interesting. Now, the minhag of giving brachas, it goes back a long way. This is in the Sefer Piskei Teshuvos. Goes back to the time of the Maharal Prague, a long time ago. But then he says exactly what Rabbi Schechter said. According from the Chidor, Yizar Levarach Lehodos LaKodesh Baruch Hu Kodesh Shem Bevarach LeTzetzov. Wow! He quotes from the Chidor, based upon the Zohar, and in some Sidurim, I never saw this, says Yizbarach V'Yitzro Mem Shmo Shal Melech Malchim Lachem HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and then you give the bracha to your children. So, I guess, as usual, Moreno Rav Schechter is correct in principle, although where I've seen, I haven't seen people do that. Perhaps they feel that they just got finished davening Ma'ariv and they give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that suffices. So I guess if a person should at least think, if he's not going to say this is Barach, that he wants to give a bracha to Hashem, to thank him for the children for whom he's giving a bracha. That's number one. Number two, the question was about minyan. So, I'll read you the question. Kids has trouble getting up. She's taken to a minyan after Zman Tefillah, the minyan factory. The answer to that question, again, eventually daven in the right time. The alternative is that he may just put on tefillin late, daven at home or just put on tefillin. What about davening tashlum by mincha? Is some categorized as mezon or not? My answer to the first question is yes. Bring him to the minyan factory. Put on tefillin late, daven at home? No. Tashlum by mincha? It's not kedai. You should just bring him to the minyan factory. Number three. Ripping kriya for gola because it would cause machlekes. What about a person's own Rebbe muvuk? And what if, as a Rebbe, he asks all his shadrocha questions, not psak halacha, kripa when he's nifter? This exactly proves the point. Some say there is no Rav Muvuk with Manazeh, because Rav Chachma is saying it comes from Svarim, as opposed to the olden days where they only heard it from the Rebbe. But a din of Gadol does exist. But I think that you shouldn't even rip on a Gadol Ador. There are Gadolim for sure, but again, because you say a person can rip for himself for a gadol, but it's a public matter. And then what about this gadol? What about that gadol? I think I mentioned to you that Rav Moshe passed away. So he passed away 2 years after, 2 weeks after Rav Yaakov passed away. So you have to rip for this one and not for that one, or that one, not for this one. Interesting, my Rebbe's Levaya, Rav Soloveitchik, was from Chol HaMoed. And I remember Rav Baron Lichtenstein asked him Shlomo Zalman, could he rip Kriya at the Levaya Chol HaMoed? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said no. So he ripped Kriya together with his brother-in-law, Rabbi Tursky's out, after Yontem was over. And when I came to Menachem Avil, they were both with ripped clothes in public. And there were few Talmidim of Rabbi Soloveitchik who did the same thing, but not too many. Different place of different situations. I still remember I was at the Levaya of Rav Henoch Leibowitz Zatzal from Chofetz Chaim, and they made an announcement, how many people ripped Kriya? such a big and a large number of Talmidim. A, it's a different type of a relationship. B, he left no children. A bit of a different circumstance, but that's what I recall having seen at that particular Levaya. I'm not sure what's done in other places, but I do know that avoiding machlokes is the best thing. Next question. Father's minig meant to give birchas habonim. Father's about tshuva, didn't have a family minig. He saw it by his rebbe or his father-in-law. Does the son then have to follow his father's minig? In other words, in general, not just birchas habonim. What about minhagim of his father? Is it only if his father was following his father? What if the other relatives was not kept for two generations, weren't from? There's no obligation whatsoever to follow your father's minig, period. There is a minig of makom that is binding. Minig of a father is just a good idea. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but it's not an obligation. So when it's possible to keep it, it should be kept, even if it wasn't from previous generations. Next question. Yogurt after kiddush before amotzi. What if after her husband made kiddush and amotzi on Shabbos morning, a woman who ate yogurt for eating fleishiks, while everyone is eating fish which she doesn't like, may she eat it during the same meal and must she bench before eating the fleishiks? Must she wait a half an hour between eating milchiks and fleishiks? What must she do to separate fleishiks and milchiks? I guess he means milchiks and fleishiks. So, do you have to, may you have it in the same meal? This is an interesting discussion. You have it in your Yoredeya, in Siman Pei Tes, Daket Shuva, Yudala Kosa Machlokas, the Mishnah Berurah, in Ilchos Shvuos, Siman Tov Tzadi Dalet of Kohen Tezayin, is Mekel, like the Mogen Avraham. So there's room to be Mekel, to have it in the same meal. Half an hour, Pashup Shat, you don't. Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to wait. What must you do? So the Shulchan Aruch says you need kinuach and adachas piv. Means, what do you mean? You chew a little bread and you rinse your mouth out with water. Now, there's an interesting Rashash. The Rashash that is only quoted by the Daka Tshuva Lamed Aleph, Rashash is in Chulin, that only gvina, cheese, which gets stuck in the palate and between the teeth, and the yogurt is not in that category. So therefore, presumably, it would be enough to have hadacha. You wouldn't need kinuach. The Bari HaShulchan, Rabbi Chaim Cohen's out, and Sifkat Nun, so there's some who disagree with that. What's important to note is that the Shulchan Aruch is only true when it comes to red meat. When it comes to chicken, you don't need any of these separations. Okay, this is all finishing up from last week's questions. Now the new questions. One, a shul wants to hold a lockdown shul on Shabbos morning. They want to make it as authentic as possible in Halachos Shabbos. We have an armed non-Jewish guard as well as unarmed Jewish volunteers who carry radios with earpieces for use in an emergency. The security team wants to prearrange with the non-Jewish guard to broadcast two messages, one signaling the start of the drill and the other signaling the end of the drill. The Jewish volunteers would hear the messages, would not need to push any buttons, change any settings, or respond on the radio. Would this be acceptable? I have to be honest with you. The whole idea does not ring with me. I understand the importance of a fire drill. At the same time, I'm also very concerned about the zilzul in Kovet Shabbos. I think you should try to find a different opportunity for a fire drill. You'll say, how can you do that? I can have a fire drill. It's not going to be on Shabbos or on Yontif when people come together. It's a good question. I can think of a couple of interesting possibilities, but I leave it to every shul to make their own decisions, you know. The shul is probably most crowded on Purim, not Shabbos or Yontif. Try a fire drill before the Megillah. That would be an interesting possibility, you know. Again, if it has to be done, it has to be done. But the COVID of Shabbos is very important. And any fire drill on Shabbos or Yom Tov is a zilzul, in my opinion. And therefore, I think some other alternative should be done. Or else you don't have to have a fire drill. Not every place has to have a fire drill. Number two, a member of our shul is making aliyah. When he accepts the Menachem of Eretz Yisrael, does he need to do a Torah Sedarim? Moshe writes, woman does not need to her son, she accepts her husband's minhag. This is the same. It's totally Tanya, but it's a low Tanya. Rav Moshe says that a woman need not do a Torah son because, like when you go to Eretz Yisrael, she goes to her husband's house. So it's the same idea. No need for a Torah son. Number three, someone used a power of a baking sheet to bake pizza bagels, but there was a layer of aluminum foil within the sheet of the pizza bagels. It was a full-sized oven. Is the baking sheet still considered parva? The answer is, if the aluminum foil was complete and there were no holes in it, it's still parva. Number four, an oval is Mishana Mokum and Shul. Should his son join him in his new Mokum is sitting next to one's father, Kibud Av, depending on the age of the son, before the Chinuch, is the son's Mokum a factor? The answer to all these questions is yes. The son should join him. Yes. Is it Kibud Av? Yes. Is it Chinuch? Yes. The son's Mokum is the father's Mokum. That's what should be. Now I'm aware in the olden days, I remember growing up in a big shul, the kids sat all the way in the back. Yeah, because they weren't really davening so much. They were talking too much. But the ideal place for a son is to be near his father. Next, number five. Anyone bring a water bottle to a public restroom? What is the general inyan of food in the restroom? What is applied to today's restrooms where the waste is flushed away? The Chazon Ish is famously mesupik, whether our restrooms, which have flushing toilets, have a status of a beis hakisi or not. It's like beis hakisi de parsoi, which the Gemara says does not have a status of beis hakisi. He's not sure. So it seems to me there's room to be mekil for two reasons. One, the Chazon Ish is suffik, and two, many restrooms are more than restrooms. We use the word rest. This is the very word rest. We know that in the olden days, the place where the individuals would relieve themselves was used for that and that only. Today, aside from the issue of the flush toilets, many restrooms serve other functions as well. They often have mirrors where people would shave and then brush their teeth and all kinds of things. So it's not miyuka for that. Another svara to be maker. And therefore, it seems to me there's room to be lead with respect to this issue of carrying a water bottle into the restroom. Number six. A wedding ends this week in New York for 4 to 5 p.m. The kupa will not start before shkia. What does one do about dating the documents and filling them out? Recently at a wedding, and the Masada Kiddushin did not want to say the brachos under the kupa till 40 minutes after shkia, and he filled in the vekanina and the edim signed the ksuba under the kupa. What do I think about this? Well, the general assumption is that if you sign the ksuba before shkia with kabbalah sakinyan, there's no problem if the wedding takes place later. Why? Because the Shibu Nechosim, which is the key point regarding Mukta and Ma'ucha, takes effect as soon as the Chosim picks up the handkerchief. And as long as that's done before the Shkia, the proper date for the Ksuba is the earlier date, by day, no matter when he puts the ring on her finger. There is a lone opinion of the Gadol Hador from Moshe Feinstein. He has a different opinion. He thinks that the Kenyan doesn't work before the Seder Kiddushin. In the old days, there was an Erisin and Yisuin a year apart. It was different. That's his view, but most posts can disagree with him. Not only that, but if you want to, this Messiah Kiddushin may have held like a Moshe, but I still don't see why he has to wait 40 minutes. It seems to me that if that's correct, that it doesn't work, as soon as the sun sets. Once the sun sets, you can write the next day. Write the next day, the night. Why not? It's not called Mu'ukar, because that's the time to write. You can't write the earlier time after Shkia. And beyond that, Mu'ukar is kosher. So to keep the whole oilam waiting extra time, I don't think that I would do such a thing. Number seven. The very cold weather experiencing, Balabatan told me they leave their hot and cold water dripping so that the pipes won't freeze and burst. On Shabbos, they will leave the hot and cold water dripping if you'll need to use the sink to wash his hands. A. If there are two cold and hot handles, I assume it is mutter to turn on a strong steam of cold water since it will not reach out to lettuce. Well, may one turn the cold water back to a drip, which may reach out to lettuce. Well, B, what should he do if his kitchen faucet has only one handle and he leaves it dripping warm, so both cold and hot is dripping? If he moves it totally to cold, can he move it back to warm? Or if he turns it higher, it's still warm, then an issue of causing more cold water to be heated. And if that is okay, can you lower it back to the warm drip? Go slow. The answer is as follows. Assuming there are two handles, the assumption is correct. You can put on a strong stream of cold water. It would not reach out to the lettuce bowl. Turning it back to a drip, which may reach out to the lettuce bowl. So the answer is as follows. You try to leave enough that it will not reach out to lettuce bowl. But even if it does, the Beis Meir, in Siman Shin Yud Ches, Sifyud Aleph, says when it comes to what he calls there, Mayim Hamis Arvim, waters that sort of pour into each other, there's not a problem of Irui. Irui, we were Machmer Lechatchila, that Irui is Mevasho. That's only if it bangs into something hard, not if it falls into other waters. And therefore, it seems to me that you should attempt to make sure that the remaining mixture is above the outside lettuce bowl, which it should be, because the water from the tap is not all that much more than the outside lettuce bowl. Depends what is the outside lettuce bowl, obviously, the whole discussion. If you have some cold water mixed in, it shouldn't reach. But if you made a goof, and by mistake, it did reach, it's still not a problem because according to the Beis Meir, it is permissible. And you're an Einam Miskavim, and it's not a Psik Resha, and some say if it's a Machlokos or Poskim, it's also not a Psik Resha. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. But B is a very big problem. If you have only one handle, you're in terrible trouble. To move it back to warm, forget about it. No, not at all. Same with higher and warm. As the questioner points out, you're causing more cold water to be heated. You're not allowed, because more cold water is going to come into the boiler and become heated. That's an absolute no-no. You just can't do it. If that is okay, it's not okay. So what is he going to do? I don't know what he can do. I just don't know. If he has to leave that sink running, maybe he has another sink in the bathroom. There's probably two handles, and maybe that'll be enough. I have no answer for this person. Number eight, Rebbe was driving one morning on a two-lane road and lost control because of the black ice. The car slid from the left lane he was driving and crashed into a car that had pulled over to the side of the road. Other driver had gotten out and was standing on the side of the road making a phone call. The airbag deployed on the passenger side only, and the content was all on that side of the driving car. The parked car was crashed into on the driver's side. Both cars were totaled by the insurance companies. The Rebbe said that if not for that car, his car would have probably have smashed into some poles that were on the side of the road, and the damage would have been worse. Does the Rebbe or the driver of the parked car have to bench Goymel? In general, what are the guidelines for benching Goymel in case of car accidents? The Rebbe has to bench Goymel. Absolutely. Sakonas nefashis, what happens? Slid across. The driver, on the other hand, did not bench Goymel. The driver was not in the car. He would have been in the car, but he wasn't in the car. There's a famous line that Rav Moshe Bick, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, had about these things. You know, if someone said, I was on the sidewalk, I was about to walk into the gutter, and a car whooshed by, had I walked into the gutter, I would have been in Sakana. So he said, you know, in a sarcastic way, yeah, yesterday I was about to go to sleep. My pajamas were in my hand. I went to the window because there was some kind of a tumult in the street. My pajamas fell out to the floor. Had I been in my pajamas, It would have been dangerous. He's obviously trying to make a point that we don't bench gavel, what we call in our language, close calls. But once a car makes contact and the person's in that car, that's not a close call. That is a sakana. And therefore, the Rebbe should certainly bench gavel, but the other one on the side of the road who would have been in danger had he been in his car, he would not have to bench gavel. 9. On Shabbos, is there any issue of walking in the cold with a hand warmer that was started from before Shabbos? There's an Eruv. It would make the chemical reaction at the access to hand warmer on Shabbos. So the answer is, there's no problem if you did it before Shabbos. If you do it on Shabbos, that's a big machlokas. Is it called makabe patish or other possible isurim? So I tell people, just make sure to do it before Shabbos. I'm told that it lasts for quite a while. I hope that it'll last for the entire Friday night. As far as Shabbos morning is concerned, I doubt it will last. So it's a person to try to avoid it. Shasat chagoto, it can be makel, those who are lenient. Number 10. Why did we take off our tefillin for Musaf and Rosh Chodesh? I heard a reason. Had it with all the keser. What about for regular Ashkenazim? When is the proper time to take off the tefillin before or after half Kaddish? In a shul where they take off after Kaddish, they bang to signify the start of Shmoneh Esrei. Should you start Musaf with them immediately to have tefillin b'tzibur from the beginning? Or is it better to finish wrapping your tefillin? 3-part question. The Ramah writes in Simon Chaf Hei Sefer Gimel that everywhere we are, we take off our tefillin before Musaf, even if you don't say Keser. Explains the Simon Tov Chaf Gimel where Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, the Mishnah Berurah Sifka Adin Yud says that the Chiras Musafin that we say in the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei is like an oath. So it's like Shabbos Yom is an oath and you don't have tefillin. So too the Musaf Tefillah on Rosh Chodesh as well. When do you take it off? The Mishnah Berurah in Simon Chaf Hei Sifkaten Nun Tes says after Chatzi Kaddish. But some say before. Why before? Lo Hafsik between Kaddish and Shmoneh Esrei. Most people follow the Mogen Avraham. Most people follow the Mogen Avraham. But still, should we limit the Hefzik to as small as possible? This, as I said before, is really tough, Chaf Gimel. There, the Piskei Tshuvos, footnote 63, says, well, if that's the case, you should really just take the two tefillin and then put them in the box in a safe place and not wrap them until later to minimize the hefsek. So he suggests. However, the Mishnah Berurah earlier in Simon Chof Chesed Katan Ches says a person shouldn't take the tefillin shayat off his arm before he already wrapped the tefillin sharosh and put him in the box. And that's what I think should be done. And therefore, once you're doing the tefillin sharosh, you might as well finish the tefillin shayat. So in our shul, the minig is, we leave enough time to put it, set aside the tefillin shayrosh and the tefillin shayat, and then we give a bang. What happens if somebody is not as quick and he's still not finished? Well, it seems that if they bang, once the tefillin shayrosh is already, presumably, that much time he has, the Olim is doing Shorosh and Shoyad, even if he's a little slower, I assume he finished the Shorosh. So then he should leave the tefillin Shoyad in the box where they hopefully are, not fully wrapped, and start Shmoneh Esrei with them. And similarly, if their custom is not to leave enough time to wrap, and you're davening in that shul, they usually do wrap, you should follow them, I think, as long as it's in the box, and start Shmoneh Esrei as close as possible as they are, which is denoted by the bang. Okay, number 11. I'm learning with a boy and get paid per session. He wants to make a siyum for his bar mitzvah. As we're getting closer, we need more time. The parents suggested to learn on Shabbos as well. Is this a problem of Shabbos? What are possible ways to arrange this in a permissible way? I don't prepare at all during the week because I know the Masechta well enough to learn with him. So if you look at the Shtevet Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Perek Chof Ches, Sif Samach Dalad and Samach Hei, he says, if a person is in what he calls a Schirus Mechayevis, which means not that you decide every single time you will do it, you won't do it. It's a prearranged understanding that if either party wants to have this done, it has to be done. That's the normal understanding. Then it would be okay, because the people view it as something which is part of a larger period of time. That's called Havlah. It seems to me that the fact that they have to finish before the Bar Mitzvah is included in this understanding, and the Bar Mitzvah boy's family would be very upset if the Rebbe said, I'm sorry, I can't do this on Shabbos. And they see, won't be in time for the Bar Mitzvah. So therefore, there's a kind of mechayevis, is a sort of unwritten understanding that the Rebbe, if he can, has to work on Shabbos. And therefore, it's considered the Havlah. We should also throw into the mix that the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Samach Shinvav Sivhei says that for a mitzvah, it could be okay. And in my read, not everyone agrees with me on this either, a mitzvah means anybody's mitzvah. The mitzvah of, I mean, here it's probably a mitzvah on both. He's teaching and he's learning. But this can come up in other situations where the mitzvah is someone else's mitzvah. I'm babysitting for children so the mother can go to shul. I thought that's also considered to be for a mitzvah. Not everyone agrees with that. Number 12. On Shabbos, may one mix mayonnaise and ketchup and add some ground spice to make salad dressing. On Shabbos, they would mix mayo and horseradish from the jar. Interesting question. Shmir Shabbos Kuchasa in Perek Yud Aleph, Sif Lamed Gimel, and footnote Kuf Mem Aleph. Sounds like it's a problem. Unless you do what we call the various shinuyim. There's certain changes in the normal way of mixing which can enable certain things to be done. For example, you don't mix it in a circle. You know, it's like tic-tac-toe. You don't use O's, you use X's. You go one direction, then take out the spoon, and go another direction, take out the spoon. Then perhaps it's okay, but otherwise it's a problem. It's interesting, the Aruch Shabbos in Perek Vav HaAruch Chof, in fact, quotes this from Shlomo Zalman, same as it's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. He quotes it from there. But he thinks we don't, this, why should this be a problem? Why is this Lisha? Lisha means what's called kibbutz chalakim. You have flour, and you pour in water, and the water and the flour mix, and you have a dough. That's called Lisha. But over here, he doesn't view it as a problem whatsoever. And this is quoted in the name of both Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Nissen Karelitz. He quotes this there in Aruch Chof Aleph. This is also found in the Pisgei Tshuvas, Simon Shin Chof Aleph, footnote 275. So it seems to me that according to most authorities, it's okay. And if a person wants to rely upon them, it's okay. There are those who say it's not okay, and they require certain shinuyim. So the best thing, of course, to do is to make it all before Shabbos. If you have a roes hanolda, you see it's going to be a need for this particular mixture for one of the meals on Shabbos, it's better to do it before Shabbos completely, not to run into this problem. If you didn't, so you can do it, you can mix them, preferably to account for the more strict view with these types of shinuyim, which means that you don't turn the spoon around and around, but you go in just one direction, pick it up, and the other direction, pick it up, and you alternate. That would be the preferred way to do it because it's a matter of dispute. We'll stop here.